All right, let's jump into the Word. I have been stirred for what the Holy Spirit is going to do this year and in the lives of His church at large. There's much going on around the planet for Jesus Christ these days. It's being seen not only within the church, but it's amazing how much of it is being seen in the world. People in the world are beginning to recognize and realize that something's happening in the group called the church of the living God. And I think what we can anticipate this year is an amazing growth and a maturity in Jesus that each one of us would grow into. We started a series last week, and I'm going to title it, actually this week, I'm going to title it Nevertheless, Nevertheless. And I'll talk about that in just a minute as to where that comes from and what that means. But I want to just to challenge each one of us this morning to make sure that you are learning to tune your ears into the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is a person, and He wants to come in, and I've felt such an urgency about this. He wants His people not just to live out a Christian life. Okay, He wants His people to draw near to Him and follow Him. That was actually His first challenge, wasn't it, for all the people? Come and do what? Follow me. Get close to me. Walk close enough that you can follow me. Have you ever gone or had somebody say, hey, we're going to go to such and such, and they just say, oh, just follow me, and you're in cars, you know, and the next thing you know, they go right through a red light, and you just, all you see is their taillights fading away as you're stuck at the red light, and you're like, oh, man, I am really stuck. And now you're so far behind, you're lost. And if you don't have any idea of where you're going, you're in big trouble. I don't like to do that. I always like to say, just give me an address. Give me something to work with here. And because it's so easy just to zoom off. And so Jesus comes and He says, hey, I want you to follow me. And that is in a closeness of relationship, because what God is doing can't be learned out of a book. It has to be the training from the heart of God. He wants His heart to be in your heart. He wants you to have the spiritual ears in tune and the spiritual eyes in tune, not the natural ones. Because I think the natural ones seem to always get us in trouble, don't they? That's been my experience. Let's get into the spirit realm of life, so that we can step into these promises that God has for us. We can step into the plan that God has for us. We can step into the purpose that He has for us. And we're not walking around aimlessly, because if I'm walking around aimlessly, I'm going to end up basically in the wrong place, and I'm going to end up discouraged, when that should never be the earmarks of a Christian. How many would agree with that? The psalmist says you should be one happy people. Look at your neighbor and say, prove it. Look at your second choice now and say, prove it. You see, sometimes we just got to communicate a little bit more with the face, don't we? But He wants to do something inside of us that's not this fake joy, this temporary joy that comes and goes, but it's something that begins to build inside of us, because as we spoke of a number of weeks ago, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the joy of the Lord that is in us that then turns around and becomes our strength. But the only way that can really be real is if I'm really walking, following Jesus Christ and walking close to Him. And without that, I soon get focused in the natural. And I tell you, even as a Christian, if you're focused on the natural, you're probably going to go astray in your journey. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to walk close to Him. We went over Ephesians 4:23 last week. It said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let something take place deeper than just the natural thoughts, but let yourself be renewed. We went to Romans 12, and we said in Romans 12, 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Changing the way you think. That comes from renewing our minds. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Isn't that an awesome thing? I don't know anybody in this room that wouldn't say, yeah, I'd sure like that. But probably many of us would say we have struggled, or maybe still are struggling, or struggle now and then from really hearing that from God, hearing God's voice on a consistent basis. And I want us to put a focus this year to be able to do that. We went from there to Job chapter 22 and verse 28, and it says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so that your light will shine, the light will shine on your ways. See, none of us like to grope around in darkness. If you ever got up in the middle of the night and it was dark and you're walking through the room and all of a sudden, bam, you hit something that somebody must have moved there in the middle of the night because it wasn't there when you went to bed, and you tripped over it, and you know, all the noise you're making and everything, you're trying to be quiet, and you make this big loud noise and kick the door or something. He says, I also want to declare a thing. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So we put together, if the ushers could come and pass out those handouts, if you were not able to be here last week, and then some of the visitors and stuff, would you just raise your hand for a quick second? The ushers are going to run this handout to you. We used this last week. If you weren't here last week, just raise your hand. If you were here last week and didn't bring them back with you, you can also raise your hand after everybody else gets one. But you need to have that this morning. We're going to make a declaration here together because, again, what Job says is, you will also declare a thing. In other words, you're going to speak it out. You're going to say something. It's not enough just to keep it in your mind. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to take all of my thoughts and work with them. Okay? So he gives me the opportunity to let certain thoughts come out through my mouth. And that's why the Bible talks so much about your words and what you say. They'll bring life or they'll bring death. Well, some of us just quit talking because we think we don't want to bring death. So instead, I think what we're going to learn and what we're going to see is that God wants us to bring life by what we declare. What will I declare this year that will change my life by the end of the year? One step at a time. So that's what the devotional is about. And if you look at that devotional, you'll see that there's a place there where we put scriptures. And I said last week, if you already have a devotional with scriptures and you want to use those scriptures, that's fine. These just happen to be out of the gospel. I felt like God wanted us to get back to the basics of the gospel and the walk with Jesus. And so those scriptures are there. But then it gives you some things to pray out loud and to write down a few ponders. But I'd like to just briefly go through these several declarations that are on the front page of that handout. Several declarations I'd like for us, and we'll have them up on the screen also. I'd like for us to just say those together this morning, walk through those, and declare them. So can we do that? Can you go to the first one, Philip? And so could we do this? Could you read this with me together? I declare that God is ready to do new things in me this year. Okay, can we do it just can you guys turn their volume up just a little bit back there? Okay. All right, let's do this again. I just think if we are bold in our declaration, that's what Job is talking about. Job was having some huge challenges in life, more than you and I will ever face. And yet he comes up with this statement, hey, declare this. And then through that, you're going to begin to see light, or you're going to begin to see the pathway before you. Okay, let's read that good and strong. I declare that God is ready to do new things in me this year. The second one, the next one. I declare that old things will pass away and all things will become new in me. Isn't that a great declaration? Let's go to the next one. I declare that old habits and addictions will be broken off of my life this year. Let's go to the next one. I declare that my faith will grow this year as I look for opportunities to use it. And we went through all of these last week. So if you were not here, I just encourage you to go to the website because we took some scriptures with it and defined it and so forth. The next one. I declare that God's favor will be upon me and my family this year. The next one, I declare God's blessing will be upon my finances. That should have been really strong. Can I give you a second chance? I declare God's blessing will be upon my finances. The next one, I declare that freedom over our spiritual oppression and harassment over my life. Freedom from that. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? Some of you are sitting here this morning and you have so much harassment coming to your mind that it's just a battle for you every day. And it feels like, well, you're still standing, I'm still, you know, coming to church, I'm still a Christian, but man, it's just a constant battle. I just want to say to you, God wants to free that. He does not want you to live that way. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. A little bit more. Let's go to the next one. I declare open heavens over my church this year. The next one, I declare a great harvest of souls in our community this year. And then just the last statement that we put on that handout and notes is God can revive, God wants to revive, and God will revive. He wants to do these things. And my thought in this whole process is, it is so easy for us to naturally wait for things to get really difficult before we start making prayers and proclamations. Isn't that true? Most of us, I mean, many of us. And I believe that if we will take this to heart, what we're doing about the declarations, if we will take this to heart, that by the end of the year, we might see a completely different set of circumstances around us. We'll mature in Christ. I believe that the Lord will rise up on our behalf in a different way, and things will be different, mostly because we are being proactive about our Christian walk. Because, see, it's the only thing in your life that's really being warred against. There's an all-out attack on your spiritual life. God doesn't, you know, God wants to come and help us and protect us, but we have to realize that what's going on around us. So let me just read this verse through just an emphasis on three different parts of it. Job 22 and verse 28. You will also declare. You will also declare. In other words, he could have just as easily said, I want you to think this. But he doesn't. He intentionally says that. Jesus, when he first taught about prayer, what was his statement? When you pray, say. See, we have to rearrange our thinking. And kind of like what Julie said this morning, you know, don't worry about what you sound like when you sing and worship God. God hears things a lot different than everybody else around you. And let me just tell you, it's a lot more important to how you sound to him than you do to anybody else. And so when you worship, just let it go. And then on that verse, it goes on to say, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. Now, do you hear what that's saying? I mean, and I challenge you to go look that scripture over and meditate on it. If I'll declare, he will establish. That declaration begins to set something in motion that makes a difference in my life. Now, most of us aren't patient enough to want to do that. We just don't have the patience to believe that God says to say it, so I'm going to say it. And there's different reasons why I think people and believers today don't like to keep declaring things and re-saying things and re-praying things. I mean, there's just been a lot of stuff around us that just, you know, name it and claim it and, you know, blab it and grab it. But that's not what it's about at all. It's about coming back to the truth and saying, God, what does your word teach us? And how do you want me to pray? And how do you want me to say? And what should I be doing in my life? And then it goes on in that same verse. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. Light will shine on your ways. In other words, I'm going to know which way to go. I'm going to be able to walk this daily life in such a way Because, you know, some of the things that happen to us, I don't know, I can't think of a really better way to say this. So just don't receive it for yourself, receive it for your neighbor. But some things happen to us because we just do stupid things. Right? And we wonder, wow, why did this happen? Well, you did that. This equals this. But God wants to put a light on your pathway so you know exactly what to do and where to go and which way to turn at every step of your journey. And he wants to help you. He says he's going to be a lamp and a light even under our feet. So he wants to show you things. And I thought about that. I thought, wow. You know, do you think every day, are you thinking every day or at least often through the day that God really wants to walk with you and really does want to speak to you and talk to you about certain things? See, we like to make them a cosmic genie. God, do this. God, give me this. God, do that. But what he wants is to be a cosmic father to us so that we can learn his ways and we can walk with him and we can know his ways and he can put light on the pathway for us. And I believe it's going to be exciting as we move toward this particular year. You probably saw in your bulletin that in February, we're going to start a 21-day fast and prayer time. I just believe that we will ramp up from the first part of this year to see a difference. I believe it's that important. Let's read a verse that I got the title from. The other day I was reading the Gospels and I came across this particular verse, Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. And listen to what it says. The setting and the context is there's a few fishermen sitting by the side of the lake, probably in the process of cleaning their nets. Jesus comes when they're in the middle of the most discouraging. It says they were fishing all night long and they said nothing. And so that means their nets are all dirty. They have no fish, and now they have to clean the nets. You ever felt like you were in that place? Man, I've been doing this all night long, Lord. I'm not seeing any results. And so Jesus comes, like he generally does, and he asks them to go out on the water. Now, the first phase of this water thing was what most theologians would say is that, and if you fish, you know this is true. When you're out on the water and you have two or three boats, you can have a boat all the way to the other side of a quiet, still lake, and you can hear them talking all the way across. That water creates an amplification. So Jesus says, push me out a little ways. I'm going to teach. Because there was a whole, you can read that in chapter 4 and 5, a whole crowd of people were following Jesus because here he was teaching truth. He was God and he was teaching truth to them. So he had all this following. So he tells Peter, put me in a boat, push me out a little ways, and I'm going to teach. And so it says he taught for a little while, and when he was done teaching, and I was just thinking, I wonder what he was teaching them. I wonder if he was teaching them something he was just now going to help Peter experience. So he says, okay, now Peter, here's the deal. Let's go out further, and I want you to cast out your nets. And this is where verse 5 comes in. Simon is Peter. His name is changed to Peter. But Simon answered and said to him, Master. Sometimes it's translated teacher. Here he was just teaching and people were following him and he had a reputation at this point around town that he was the master and he was teaching. They didn't quite know who he was, but they knew he was powerful. He said, Master, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. I'm thinking, wow. I think that they might have also been thinking a few things. Have you ever had your mind think a few things that weren't so good about people? They were probably thinking like, dude, you're a carpenter and we're fishermen. We're professionals. What are you coming to tell us to go do something like this here? And I'm going to just see it in their minds turning, you know. I mean, lucky for them, Jesus wasn't in the mood to read their mind like he did so often with people that were thinking wrong thoughts. But he comes to him and he says, hey, listen, we've toiled all night. But this is where the title comes from. Nevertheless, would you say that with me? Nevertheless, at your word, I am going to let down the nets. And man, when I read that, this hit me. like a ton of bricks. The New Living Translation says, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Nevertheless, at your word. And I wonder sometimes with where you're at, where I'm at times, we have these long seasons. We read about that with Hannah and her baby. She was barren for many years. And yet she chose to dedicate the baby she didn't have to the Lord when she had it. And then she chose to worship him. And it actually says in that particular, they rose up early in the morning, they worshiped him before the Lord, and then they returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, had sexual intercourse with her. So it was more than just prayer for you, in case you're wondering. And Hannah and his wife, and then it says the Lord remembered them. And then she soon had a baby. And I think, wow, you know, we sometimes wait these long seasons. You know, long seasons are not unusual in the Bible. I hate to think of that myself, to be honest with you. I like to gravitate to the verse that says he's going to do a quick work. But because he's not our cosmic genie, that doesn't always happen. Because he wants you to have things, but more than anything, he wants you to have him. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to learn to be close to him, because that's the greatest blessing. That's the eternal blessing. Amen? And that's why I think in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And all those things, if you read the context of that, had to do with food and clothing and all of that. And so he's there for us. So Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. We've caught nothing. And I wonder this morning, maybe, you know, last year was rough on a lot of people. Last year was a rough year for a lot of people. And I wonder if maybe this year, as we move into this year, where you're at based on how last year went for you. And where will you be this year based on what we will do with this year? Because we have more to do with it than what we probably understand. It's just different than what we understand. And we'll look at that for just a second. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things, would you say all things? All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And in the Greek word there, it means all things work to gain a decisive victory. I like that. All things work together to create a decisive victory. Victory. It's just the words of God. We look further to Romans 8:37, about 10 verses down, and it says, no, despite all of these things, all of what things? All these things that we don't sometimes understand and we don't can't wrap our natural minds around. He just says, listen, I just want you to know all these things. Now, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory is ours. And sometimes it's hard to see that, I think, but yet it's important that we do begin to grasp it. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 23 says this here, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So why is this important in the course of our journey for this year and how we're going to live it out? Well, because everything you say, you first think. You have this ability to be able to filter what you say out of all of your thoughts. How many understand that about yourself? You have a lot more thoughts than you say. Matter of fact, the Bible says you shouldn't say all of your thoughts. It says only a fool says everything that he thinks. But you have a freedom and an ability to allow the right things to come out. And when that happens, and we've all experienced the life or death of a tongue, either toward ourselves or against us towards somebody else. There's a life or death that happens there. But we all have this ability to process things, but I have to be able to think right if I'm going to declare right, if I'm going to see God move on my behalf right. Okay? Because God, how many have learned at least, if you've been a Christian for more than a day, you already realize God doesn't do everything you say. You know, he doesn't do wrong things for us. He doesn't do things that are bad for us. He always does everything that's good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. So now I want to take us for just a second, because part of where we're at has to do with understanding who we are positionally. Who are you positionally? Where do you stand? Do you live based on circumstances, or do you live based on position? Now, I want to put up this next statement, if you would, Philip. It's really not a battle, it is a victory. I want you to look at that for just a second. I want you to allow that to settle in, because it's what I'm talking about here today as we are talking about declarations, and declarations come from our thoughts, and our thoughts produce our declarations, or our thoughts will tie up our declarations or stop our declarations from happening. If I think something like this, I will not try to declare this. If I think that this won't happen, why would I declare that it would happen? So I have to adjust my thinking and my thoughts. But here's this statement. It is really not a battle. It is a victory. By this is what I mean. Do you think that you have to fight your own battle, or do you think you have to just take a hold of your victory? Many people think, because we are in a warfare, we're in a spiritual warfare, that somehow we have to fight that battle. But you know, that's really not biblical. We have to position ourselves in the place of victory. In other words, am I more than a conqueror? Am I going to get this thing taken care of? Is God going to be on my side? Am I going to win this battle? Am I going to win this struggle in life? What's going to happen now? And I want to read just two verses that will kind of give you a little bit of a picture of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 57 says this here. But thanks be to God. To who? To God. Who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I felt like, even in processing this, when I came up with this statement, I felt like it's going to be a bit of a challenge for some to grasp or get a hold of. And so I really want you to focus here in particular on this next scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, or don't be discouraged by this gigantic thing that you're facing, this huge battle that you see right in front of you. Don't be discouraged by that, for the battle is not yours, but it's his. The battle's not mine, it's his. So as I'm processing life and I'm going through life, what am I thinking? Am I thinking that I've got to somehow buck up and be strong enough to win this battle? And maybe I'm just not strong enough. Maybe I'm just weaker than the rest of the Christians, and so I can't do this. And how am I ever going to do this? The battle's too strong. If I'm thinking that way, I will struggle to get that victory, because the victory, the battle, isn't mine. But if I'm thinking properly and saying, God, I can't take care of this, but you can. And I'm going to declare your favor over this circumstance and over this, hence those several declarations that we made. I'm challenging you to begin to make those through this year. Don't wait till you're sick to go to the doctor. Don't wait till you have a challenge before you go to the Bible. Let's this year be more proactive toward it. Rick Joyner says this here about spiritual warfare and battle and so forth, because we really are in the middle of a warfare. Everybody is. If you're a Christian, you're in the middle of a warfare, because the Bible is very clear about that. That's not the issue. I believe that. The Bible says that. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers in high places. That's what we wrestle against. But the problem happens is when I try to fight it myself, instead of saying, God, this is your battle, I'm going to come back into a place of relationship with you, and you're going to take care of this issue for me. Because he's more than willing to do that. He wants to do that, because he knows we can't win it. Rick Joyner says this in his book called The Epic Battles. of the last day. We will never win a single battle by our own wisdom or strength, but by the power of the one who dwells within us. Therefore, the chief strategy of spiritual warfare is to get closer to the King and to walk in greater obedience to Him. Hence why I want us to learn this year, let's hear God. Because the most important thing you can learn to do is to be obedient. When He says duck, you should duck. In obedience to Him, the degree to which we walk in true spiritual authority is determined by the degree to which the King lives within us. The kingdom only comes with the presence of the King. Thy kingdom comes with the King. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, as I said last week, we're all gonna face struggles and battles. There's just no doubt about that. Jesus even said that. But if we can begin to position ourselves this year to grow close to the King, to walk with Him, learn to have Him fill us up when we're in His presence, because that's what happens when we're in His presence, you'll be receiving the fullness of joy. You'll receive the fullness of His strength. But see, we are created so like God that we have to be careful that we don't begin to think we're God. And we think that we can do this without Him. But in fact, what He wants to do is to train up an army of people that fight the battle the way He has said to fight it. And we read it already. The battle is His. The victory. So it's almost like He wants us to just sweep up the victory in this thing. And I'm not making light of any struggles that we have. We will have them. I remember when Elijah and his servant were surrounded by this huge army, and the servant wasn't quite there yet, and he comes running out, and he comes running after Elijah and says, "Man, we are surrounded. This is it. We're done. Let's eat our last meal, and we're going to die." And Elijah said, it says that Elijah prayed for him, and all of a sudden his eyes were open to see the host of angels around them to take this battle under control. And they won the battle because of that. It's no different today than it was for them. With the same Holy Spirit, same power, same God, lived back then that lives today. And it's actually even a little bit closer because it says He lives within us, which didn't happen before the cross. They had faith toward the cross. And we look back to the finished cross. And we look back now that finished cross made us the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and through us. And so we're in this position now today where we understand the battle is God's. We're living in what would be considered the last days. And so we have this fresh authority about us that God wants to begin to release in us and through us, that we might begin to see greater victories than we've ever seen before in the history of the whole church. We're in that day. We're closer than any other generation to the end. And I want to just challenge us this morning with this whole idea of where you're positioned. Are you positioned to think that you have to go out there and fight the battle? Or do you understand that you're just to go out there and take the victory? And if you do fight, if it's in the prayer room, let me tell you, when you go out there, you'll be able to see the victory. Amen? Yeah. Would you just close your eyes for just a moment? I feel like the Lord is saying through this series, or the beginning of this series, that He wants a closer relationship with you. He wants a closer relationship with you. He doesn't want a distant church relationship with you. He wants to have this, the word intimate, I know that it's kind of a funny word sometimes nowadays, but He wants to have a closer intimacy. He wants to draw you closer to Him for this coming year. It's going to be a different year. It's going to be a different year. But yet He wants to walk you through it in a way that you've never walked through it before. so my challenge is for me, for you, is that you would be transparent about maybe how you feel your relationship is with God. I know we always say, do you pray? Do you read? Do you? I'm not talking about that this morning at all. I'm talking about the relationship. What's the real relationship? And if you have a real relationship, that means you're able to hear each other and you're free to talk to each other. If it's a close relationship, you're free to even share your heart with your God. He knows everything anyway, but he gives us the opportunity to be able to talk to him and commune with him. And sometimes I think we just, because we're a little bit shallow, we go to prayer and we're just, you know, we're real shallow about it. And so we walk away saying, why didn't I hear God? But I think this year is going to be critical for you to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. He wants to navigate your journey this year so that it is different. And it will be different. He wants to warn you about things to come. He wants to steer you around things that are going to harm you. He wants to grip your heart to know him and to find the real strength that is real from him. I believe some of you this morning, you just need to pray for your health. You may not even be sick right now, but you need to pray for your health. Don't wait. And what about finances? What about relationships? All these things that I think God just wants to commune with you about. He wants to hear your heart. Holy Spirit, we love you. We recognize you not as just a cloud or a mist in the air, but we recognize you as a person who's actually moved inside of us and desires to speak to us and commune with us, even as we talked earlier about communion. You want to commune with your people. You want to do things on behalf of your people. You want to show us where you have won the battle so that we could take a hold of that victory. You want to give us victory in different areas of our life. Each one of us here would be different. Some of you are struggling with some of the things, some of the declarations we made, you could personalize and say, yeah, that's me. That's really what I want. And I just challenge you to make that declaration on a regular basis and put some Bible with it, and you will see a difference this year. And Lord knows how much we need to see a difference in the church. It needs to come back to him. It needs to come back to him. It needs to come back to him. So, Father, this morning I pray for myself. I pray for all of us here this morning. The closeness, God, that we need. The closeness, not only do we need, but you actually desire. Just for the sake of the fun of the relationship with the one and only God, Jesus Christ. You want to have a relationship with us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that may be struggling even now to say, when I pray, I don't hear his voice, or why don't I hear him, or why don't I understand him. Today, God, there would be a breakthrough, a breakthrough, a breakthrough. And the next time they stop to meet with you, Father, they would find that you're really there. Without you, we have nothing. We understand that. But with you, we have and can do all things in Christ. So I pray today, Father, just let something touch each one of us this morning that goes deeper than the mind. It goes into the mind of the Spirit. It goes into the heart. And we begin to think and ponder and then speak out the truth that you have given us. And that truth will set us free at every level. Thank you, Jesus. Just with your eyes closed, everybody's eyes closed, just for a moment, if you can say, yeah, there's an area in my life that I just want to overcome this year. It's going to be my walk of faith. I want to overcome that. You've wrestled with it and just seems to be there, and it might even just be minor in many ways, but just Maybe it's prayer life. Maybe it's word. Maybe it's whatever. And you just say, yeah, I want God to lead me this year. I want to give you an opportunity just to lift your hand before him and say, yes, that's me, Lord. I receive your word today. I receive your help today. I want to overcome. I want to overcome. If that's you, would you just raise your hand just quickly right now, just before the Lord? I think response is important. What is the Holy Spirit saying? How do I receive it? How do I grasp it? And again, I know some have been through long challenges, but God is on your side, and he loves you with an everlasting love. Father, you see every heart and hand here this morning, and I pray that, Lord, as we stand sincerely before you, you would touch us this year. We would just see the beginnings of a dynamic year, mostly because we're close to you, and we experience that relationship with you. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Father, for the victory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.